Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel reading is probably one of the most popular stories among the miracles of our Lord, the feeding of the 5,000, which by the account that we read in today's gospel, it only included maybe half of the people that were there. So a good 10,000 people fed with a very small amount of food because of the beautiful sustaining miracle of Christ our God. And you have to wonder, even from the beginning of this miracle, when our Lord instructed the disciples, though they were tired and they wanted the day to be over, and they saw that Jesus was healing many people from throughout the day, doesn't say anything about them working hard and healing people from throughout the day. And he was out there in the sun, and he was in the desolate desert place, and he was making sure that those who came to him with need were blessed and were able to walk away more fulfilled people than they came. And when the disciples wanted to send everyone away and wrap it up for the day, he said, no, you sustain them, you give them something. And those very famous 5 loaves and 2 fish. And we have to think about the perplexity in their minds because of the 12 disciples that were there and the Lord. The disciples were probably already thinking, boy, we only have 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fish. We got to split this up between 13 of us. It's not very much food. We're already in trouble. We're already looking at things from a backwards perspective. So how preposterous was it that our Lord would challenge them in their faith and challenge them in their love for humanity that was before them. For at that time, in their exhaustion and in their fatigue, they were just seeing one big multiple crowd, where our Lord was seeing everyone to the person and why they were there, why they needed to be there, and why they couldn't leave just yet, and more work had to be done. And that's the way he sees us. Not as a church of a big crowd, but of every single blessed soul that comes to him in love and in worship and in faith. And indeed, he fed those multitudes on that day, giving us the wonderful sign that the multitudes will continue to be fed. And not only in a physical sense, because we know that's just the beginning, but in the spiritual sense, the beautiful feeding that we receive, the nourishment that we take from His hand. And it's expressed to us not only in our own lives as we walk our Christian faith each day by day, but in the lives of the saints that have gone on before us. And shared with us in such beautiful ways, we have 2 women that are set before us in today's calendar. Saint Mary Magdalene, the myrrh bearer and equal to the apostles. There's that title again. It seems like I keep bringing it up week after week. Equal to the apostles, Mary Magdalene. And the venerable virgin martyr, Saint Marcella of Chios. A reminder that we all need to be fed. These 2 people that may have been lost in the pages of history, were it not with their encounters with Christ. All sorts of legend has been stirred up about the person of Mary Magdalene. Her relationship with the Lord. In some Western theologians, some, I guess we can say, ancient Gnostic heresies made popular about 15 years ago by the author Dan Brown, who even was so preposterous to say that, well, Jesus and Mary Magdalene were actually a married couple. God forbid that even something so outrageous would come out of my mouth at a time in our divine liturgy. But it needs to be stated that through the history, there have been many, many abuses of the actual information that we have in the life of the church. What we know of St. Mary Magdalene is that she was a woman that had 7 demons that were cast out of her. What these demons did and how they manifested and what they caused within her, we don't know. But we know that they were dispelled and they were sent away. And the reason she's given the title of equal to the apostles is because as she walked with all of the disciples and the mother of God, the Theotokos, and all of the women that accompanied their party as they ministered to the faithful up and down the area of Palestine, we know that in the very end, this is the woman, before all of the myrrh bearers approached the tomb in the darkness of night and had two of the most fearful conversations she's ever had. And the one was with the angels, wondering what was happening and how this door could be rolled away. And the confusion of what she was seeing and experiencing, to the point when Jesus would speak to her himself, she didn't recognize him. As the evangelists lift up for us, supposing him to be the gardener, she assumed they took him away. And she simply wanted to know where he was so that they could continue to minister unto him as the myrrh bearers. And with the familiar sound of his voice, when he simply said, "Mary," she recognized him. So a person who at one time in her life was lost to the world, lost perhaps to her family, lost to her friends because of the possession of these demons, yet our Lord brings her back. And then also, celebrating on the 22nd of July, the great venerable virgin martyr Marcella of Chios, one of the most popular names on that island, so much so that many young boys are given the name Markelos. It's kind of like Panayoti, when we have that not too often female name that are given to boys. St. Marcella was a young woman raised in a beautiful home. Her father was the mayor of her town. And her mother was a devout Christian who instilled in her the faith of Christ, that she would be able to witness and to have safeguard her through the end of this earthly life. St. Marcella was a woman who lost her mother to death at a very early age. And this is when her story begins to get difficult. This is when we have one of the most, I have to say, disturbing accounts of the saints in the life of the church. I think we all know this is the name of our youngest daughter. And I knew at some point that we would be talking about her patron saint, or her matron saint rather, and what her life was. And we want it to be beautiful. We want every saint to rejoice in an amazing way. We want a story that is going to uplift us and inspire us and just create joy around us so we can march through. But this is a young lady that had a horrific young life following her mother's death at the hands of her father, who became enraged by the death of his wife, who lost all accounts of sensibilities, who was abusive towards his daughter. And in one of his fits of passion and rage, as he chased her out of the house, she was led to a cliff, and she was faced with death either way, either by jumping off or by her father. And she was martyred on that day on that cliff by the hands of he who was supposed to protect and love and nurture and guide her and inspire to every beautiful thing. And in the place of her martyrdom, there still stands a church with nothing but seawater all around that cliff, but a natural spring that burbles up. And the waters of the beaches of Chios on her feast day still foam with red on this day. An amazing miracle that God reminds us. Again, a person, a young maiden, who would have been lost completely to the history of the world were it not for her faith and for her love and for her dedication. Just like Mary Magdalene, with multiple challenges in the world until she knew Christ. So today's gospel reading lifts up for us an account of people who were fed, who stood there in the hot sun, received his blessings, and had empty stomachs. Empty bellies. They were gurgling a little bit because they were hungry. And the disciples, it sounded like they were a little bit hangry themselves. But today, as we put it to a complete whole, not only the message that comes to us from the 8th Sunday of Matthew, but these venerable, amazing women who not only were fed and nurtured by Christ, but continue to feed and guide us with their stories, with their inspiration, and with their love for their God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.